Father, indeed, as we have come before thee, we are mindful of the many blessings we have at thine hand. We're mindful of the word that we have before us, the ability that we have to congregate and to share it one with another, to read from it, and to fellowship one with another. We're very appreciative of that. Be with us as we read and study. Watch over us. In Christ we pray. Amen. So if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'd like to read verses 1 through 23. The first part of this chapter, maybe up to verse 14, 15, 16 or so, is Paul's defense that really, that as a minister of the gospel, that he would have, as all the other apostles back then, the right to be supported by the church. But it's interesting to note that even though there's a large portion of this chapter dedicated to it, the Corinthians, and we'll touch base on that with a few other references in 2 Corinthians, but the Corinthians, historically here, the church has been started by Paul. Timothy was there too. And there's trouble. There are those who don't want to listen, that have strayed from the word of God. And they've been using the fact that Paul does not take a salary, that he doesn't take the support from them, as a disparaging thing. To say that basically, you're not getting paid, we're not supporting you, you're not really an apostle. And Paul is really making it clear that, yes, I am an apostle. Yes, indeed, you're not paying me, but I have chosen so that the gospel may not be hindered. But he makes it very clear that this is something that's okay. And then throughout, he, especially toward the end, verses 19, 20, he's talking about that he might gain. To the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might gain. To the weak, that I might gain. To the Gentile, that I might gain. And we're going to read this and then we'll discuss. So starting with verse 1 of chapter 9, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. So there were those who, once again, were putting them on trial, and this is his answer. Have we not the power to eat and drink? Have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach of the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me? For it were better for me to die than to go, that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing the glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law unto God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without law. To the weak became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might be by all means save some. And this do I for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I'd like to stop there. So to start off, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am unto you. Once again, he's really affirming or reaffirming his apostleship. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. I'm going to read just a verse or two from each of those. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of Christ or of God freely. So here he's talking to them in the second letter, and he's asking them the questions. Have I committed an offense because I've done this freely, of no burden to you? So we can see that Paul is trying to get through to the Corinthians that they've somehow twisted this not accepting of being sponsored by them into, well, he's not really an apostle. And then if we turn the page over to chapter 12, verse 13. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome unto you? Forgive me this wrong. So once again, he's making it the point that some have twisted this not being a burden, that it is somehow making them inferior or really making Paul inferior. And he says, forgive me this wrong if that's what has caused it. So he's very plainly defending this idea that he has credentials. He's going to approve from the apostolic examples and from Scripture that support is warranted, but when we get down a little further in the chapter, that he's purposely not going to take it because he feels that if he takes it from them, not that he hasn't taken in other passages, we see that he does take support from other churches and that he is, that's how he's supported, although he does have a job as a tent maker, as you would. He does take support, but for them, it's free, it's without charge, and that shouldn't belittle the fact that I'm still an apostle. So starting then with verse 3, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. And then he goes off and he wants it to be very clear. Have we not the power to eat and drink? Have we not the power to lead about a wife, a sister, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas or Peter? So he's making it very plain that other apostles are doing this and that it is okay to have them be supported. In verse 7, he goes, who goeth to war for at any time and his own charges? And now, verse 7, he's going to make three examples about a soldier, a vine dresser, and a shepherd. And who goeth to warfare or his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? So he's made three examples. And I'd like to read a couple of them. In 2 Timothy 2:3, talking about the soldiers. Thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ, right? So there he's there's an allegory of a minister or those that are part sharing in the gospel as being enduring hardness as a soldier. As a vine dresser in 1 Corinthians 3:6, we read a number of months back, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So once again, he's giving that illustration of planting, watering, and you're working with the vines. And then in 1 Peter 5:2 talks about the shepherd feeding the flock, right? So he's using these passages from scripture that are there, that are established, and he's saying, look, you know, who goes to warfare without charging, right? You know, who is not going to eat the fruit thereof? Feed the flock. Who's going to have the flock and not partake of the milk of the flock? So do I say these as a man, or doesn't the law of God say also? So he uses some examples that we have, and then he talks about the law of God, written in the law of Moses. For it is written in the law, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. So before, one of the common ways of dehusking, if you would, the corn, right? They would leave it out in the field, and the oxen would walk over it, and that mechanism would help to sort through and dehusk and bring out the grain. Here's the law. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. He says, does God care for the oxen? Is it really the oxen, or is God really using this as an example here? As we treat our beasts, this is how we should be treated, right? Or saith he saith it altogether for our sakes. No doubt it is indeed written for our sakes. That he that ploweth should plow in hope. He that thresheth shall be in particular in this hope. And you might make that, if you're plowing, you're starting a new field and you're planting new. And indeed, the Corinthian church was planted new. Those who thresh, you know, as the field grows, now that's been established a little bit. And those who thresh the wheat, they are also there. They should be partakers of this. And I was just trying to think of a modern day example, right? And I was thinking of the baking of chocolate chip cookies, right? Would you forbid the one who's baking? Has this ever been that they don't taste that cookie, right? No, it's absurd. You would never say that that's wrong. And so here, once again, the Corinthians were twisting. They were twisting what, just to bolster their argument. And how many times do we in our life, we have something that we want to do or don't want to do, and we're going to find some argument no matter how illogical it is, and we're going to twist it and make it fit us for our benefit, not even caring or listening to proper logic, right? But by the time we get down to verse 12, Paul makes it clear. You know, he just spent 10 odd verses saying how it is lawful and right to support those who work in the ministry. That's lawful and right. But he says, nevertheless, we have not used this power. We suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So let's talk about that, hindering the gospel of Christ. You know, so many churches, I would say probably more churches than not, you know, there are pastors and they have their families and they're barely getting by. You know, some have made it a point. They don't ask for money. They've never asked for money, but because the church knows that these principles apply, they give, but they're barely getting by. Then you have the mega pastors that they're getting plenty of money, right? Because they're powerful, because people will come to hear them. because there's money to be had. I was reading an article on Jim Jones. This is the famous cult that back in, I think, the 72, mass suicide, murder, 900 people down in Ghana, Africa, Jonestown. Back in 1952, 20 years earlier, he had become communist. He was really liking that idea of the communist ideas back then. Of course, it was really looked down upon back then, and he was fighting against that, and he was trying to figure out how to propagate that idea, as I'm reading the article. And there's a Baptist church, and he sees a faith healer, and he realizes, after seeing that faith healing service, and he observed that it attracted people and their money, right? It attracted people and their money, and he said, hey, I like this. I can use this for my ideas. And through another pastor that had been around, he had the advice, you know, find an enemy, pick one, pick an enemy, and everybody will unite around you. So, you know, make something the enemy, and everybody will unite around you, and then they'll give you money, and then you can do what you want with it, basically. So we know that even now in our modern days, so many people that we talk to, they think of religion as something that's just about money. I think I've told you, my father, when he grew up, he just saw it as a way to part you from your money. Right? And so when you meet people and you talk about the church and somehow you're talking about faith or God, this topic of money comes up, and all of a sudden they may realize that you go to a church that really doesn't pay their staff. We don't have staff here. It's just us. Right? Just like when you go home, do I have staff at home? Oh yeah, I have the trash taker outer and the dishwasher and these different things. No. That's not staff, it's just us, right? It's just doing work that needs to be done. That's what we do. And that strikes them as odd because they've never heard of that. Now, we're not the only ones who do that. There are many that run their churches in that way. But here, once again, Paul is saying, I am not taking anything from you lest the gospel of Christ be hindered. He does not want the gospel of Christ to be hindered. Verse 19, verse 18, I don't want to skip 16, I've skipped a little passage here. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. So he's also making the point that it's not the money. It's not the support I get in any case. It's that I have to do this. I have this truth given to me, and it is so important for me to express this truth, to convince people to this is souls that need to be saved, right? And Satan is doing his best to say, nah, you know what, yeah, that religion, you know, that's just to part you from your money. Or you don't need, that's a crutch because only the weak people need religion. Or 1,000 different things. I'm too busy for God and his purposes, right? Any way Satan can, he's trying to convince people that you don't need God. And Paul has the truth here. Pharisee of the Pharisee, raised up in the as a Pharisee, right? Raised up under the law. He knows better than anyone exactly how the law should be. His eyes were open, and he sees that, hey, it's not just the keeping of the law. And he's now able to go and to study the word in the light of Jesus' appearance to him, right? Where he understands that there's more to it. And so Paul has this greater understanding given to him, and he feels a driving need to tell everybody about this, right? He says, I'm free, verse 19. I am free from all men, yet I make myself a servant unto all that I might gain the more. So let's talk about that I might gain the more. A a lot of times in our lives. You know, we know it's not, let's say, take a lunch line, right, or any line. You know, it's important to not be seen as the person who's going in first, right? You don't want to be too eager. I know in some cultures that they're purposely late. They're purposely late to things and events because they don't want to be seen as too overly anxious to go get free food or to get whatever there. So they're going to get there when they get there, and that's to show that they're really, you know, not just going there to get, you know, to participate in the free food and whatnot, right? But sometimes we work our way around that, you know. Oh, I'm gonna go and here's an elderly person. I'm gonna go take them and escort them through the line because they need some help, right? So somehow we do something that looks good, but we're benefiting from it, right? I'm gonna take my Bubba through the line, and there she's getting her food, and of course I'm gonna go sit with her, and I'm gonna get my food, and I get my food first, right? So some way, shape, or form, a lot of times what we're doing is not really altruistic. We always have this little thing behind it, but it's not always the case. It's not always the case that this is going on. And I'll tell you, as a father, as a parent, when we look at our children and we see them doing well, and we try to, I remember seeing a picture, a cartoon, and it showed kind of two silhouettes. One is of a father and one is of the son. And the son, it's all made out of, you know, they're just silhouettes, right? They're black. And the son has a little pixel missing from him. A little block is missing from him. And here's the father. He's giving him a little block. But you can see the father has many blocks missing from him. And he's saying, here, you know, son, you need this. You know, you need to be whole, even though the son, the father has been through a lot, right? And he's not whole at all. And as a father, we love to see our children gain. That, I guess you can say, it helps us to feel that we're gaining, but really it's altruistic. I feel that no, I want to see my children prosper. I want to see them go on, and their children, their children after them. And here's Paul saying the same thing. He's saying, though I be free, though I am free, I can take it, I cannot take it, but what's important? What's important are souls. And he goes on, verse 20, to the Jews, I became a Jew that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them, that I might gain them. His goal is that he gains souls. And indeed, as a Jew, he went to the Jews, that he might gain the Jews. Now, there's a couple examples I want to bring out. If you remember back in the book of Acts 16, verse 3, he was having Timothy. It says, then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. So he was going to take Timothy with him. And he took and circumcised Timothy because the Jews that were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So they all knew that there was this, going to be this trouble because Timothy wasn't circumcised. In another passage, we're going to talk about Titus. Titus was not circumcised. In this particular case, Paul didn't want that to be a distraction with Timothy. And so he had Timothy circumcised. And Galatians 2:4. Here's Titus. But neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought into, who came privately out to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring it unto us in bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue in you. So we see here that with Timothy, he said, we're going to circumcise him. with Titus? He said, no, because these Jews, these are false brethren. These are not real brethren. These are false brethren, and they're seeking to take us back away from the truth of the gospel. Their motives were evil. Their motives were bad. They were not pure and good. There are those who just don't understand who God is and what he's done for us and how he would have us be free from the bondage of sin. And just honestly, realistically, they just need help. And Paul is saying, whatever it takes, we're going to win those souls. Whatever it takes, to the Jew, I became a Jew. The Greek, I became a Greek. We're going to read about that. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be like them so that I might gain them. I remember many years back, I was working with a customer that was, I don't know, it must have been Alabama or somewhere. And he was talking about a machine, and he was talking about mashing the buttons. Like mashing buttons. What's mashing? Well, if you push the button, that's called mashing the button, right? And a lot of times, just when you're talking to people, you'll kind of adopt their accent just a little bit, not to make fun with them, but knowing that if you just kind of talk like them, that they're comfortable, right? And you can just bypass a lot of the stuff that might go on in their heads and get right to the point and explain what you need to explain. And I think we can see here that Paul, as we read, to them, so to the Jew, he became a Jew, right? But not really. He didn't become a Jew in that I'm going to keep the ceremonial law and demand that that be for your salvation. No. In all the ways that he could. Let's read a little bit forth. To them that are without the law, as without the law, but not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ. So he's still going to keep God's word. He's still going to do that which he's not going to steal. He's not going to lie. He's not going to cheat. He's still going to do those things that are what God has written for us, for all men to keep. But for those things that are outside, right? If it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But if it does matter, he's going to draw a line. To them that are without the law, as without the law, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. This is going back to Romans 14, right? You know, for your weaker brothers, somehow, some way, I want to be able to communicate with them the truth of the scripture. And it might take days, weeks, months, years, decades to do that. But I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to give of myself so that others, I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. All things, all men, all means save some. So it's like pulling out all the stops. Have you ever heard that statement, pulling out all the stops? This goes back into the 1800s. They had organs, right? And on organs, before they had the electronic organs, they had stops, or these are little valves. And especially in the larger pipe organs, right, there's hundreds of valves. And if you want the little pipe sound, you pull out one stop, and that lets the air flow through there. You pull out another stop, and it lets more air flow to another set of pipes, right? And so you want to pull out all the stops? You've got to pull out all the, there's a lot of work to pull out all those stops. And you pull out all those stops, and what do you get? You get amazing sound from the organ. Paul was pulling out all the stops that he might all means save some. Not all. Even for some. Even if he can just save a few more. Those are willing. He's willing to pull out all the stops. All things to all men that I might by all means save some. In our lives, how are we being a hindrance? Are we being a hindrance to the gospel? You know, we have our rights. Paul had rights to take pay, if you would, to be supported by the church. Maybe that's not our problem, but there are probably many ways in that, in our daily walk of life, we're hindering some by how we are with them, right? With Paul, you know, it's kind of hard nowadays, I think. You know, to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Greek, I became a Greek. You know, when he was with Jews, he was like this way. Oh, when he was with the Greeks, he was like this. Really not so different. because he was still keeping that law of Christ, but just in some of their traditions, if you would. Nowadays, with social media, you're always visible to everybody, it seems. And I think we need to be careful about that, lest by some means we hinder the gospel. Right? What might be a liberty that you would never want to flaunt in front of one brother or sister or friend? Well, now it's posted out there for the world to see, and they can see it now, today, ever. They can go back and search it. And maybe that causes them to stumble in a way that they shouldn't have to stumble. There was a story I heard about going, you know, somebody's going to visit a house, and this is a beautiful house, and they walk up to the front door, and as the door is open, it's just pristine inside, a gorgeous white carpet, and you can see right at the front door, all the shoes are lined up, right? Well, what do? Well, you take off your shoes, because that's what we do. You can tell, this is a house where you take off your shoes. You don't say, you know, I have the right to wear shoes. I need to have shoes on. I'm going to just go in there and walk all over that white carpet because, you know, I have the right. No, you take off your shoes. And we don't think anything of that. There's a lot of time in our life that we assert our rights to others' detriments. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Let us in our lives be driven by that gospel to put out all those stops, to give up all those rights that we can give, not for the false brethren, but for the ones that are in need of a Savior, though it be days, hours, weeks, decades. Let's care for them. May God bless his word.